Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Into that, all to Jesus I surrender, because there's times in our lives where we just absolutely find ourselves at the end. We find ourselves so tired of stuff. We find ourselves tired of people. We find ourselves tired of other people's failure. We find ourselves tired of how others have perhaps wounded us. And there's even times we get sick and tired of ourselves. I've actually come to the point where there's been times in my life I didn't even want to even look in a mirror because I didn't have nice things to say about me. You ever come to that point? Maybe you need to surrender that. I just want to do this. Just take the time. Hey, we got nothing better to do than to press in. That's why we're here, is to press in. If I don't get to preach today, God's mercy falling in this room would be enough. God's presence in this room would be enough. Are you after more head knowledge or are you after more Jesus? Got 13 of you. Okay. I said, are you after more of the presence of God or are you after more head knowledge? Because we're going to get into the Word. We're going to have spiritual revelation. But first, we're going to come into the one who says to us, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And when you get tired of stuff, I'll give you rest. Don't get mad at me because I added a little bit. I translated it to today's. Here's the result of it. We're tired of the stuff. But the one thing we know is when we press into the presence of God, there's mercy. There's this release because he just makes all things well. The old hymn, it is well when peace like a river attendeth my way, or sorrows like sea billows roll. There's a family this week, many of you went to Panama with. Dave Bundy stood on the end of this stage. Dave and Mike, those two brothers, stood on the end of this stage. And Dave stood here with a microphone a few weeks ago. He was so impacted by that trip. He's the one that I said taught me about all my missions trips. Remember that? He took me on my first one in 1994. He stood on that platform. His wife stood right there as he was giving his testimony to what God had done in Panama. And one of the things he said about this church is, I've never seen a church love people more than this church. He said, of all the trips I've been on, and he was very eloquent about it, and he told me even again later, Barry, I'm serious. I never have seen on a missions trip people, a group love each other more, and a group of people love the children more than this group. 2 weeks on a Sunday night later, which was last Sunday night at 7 o'clock, I received a phone call from Mark Weaver, who was on our trip. He was the steel guy, Weaver Steel here in St. Louis. They built the dome. Mark called me and he said, Barry, do you have any information on the death of Matt Bundy? I said, no. What? He said, Dave's son, Matt, was killed today. He was out with Dave cutting trees down at their property in Fredericktown. Matt was, they just turned 35 years of age and they were cutting trees down, had all the family down there. Dave and Rhonda were all down there. The kids, the grandkids were all there. Matt's sister was there and her husband and family. And they went out and they decided to take some trees down. It wasn't very long before a tree fell on Matt and killed him instantly. Dave didn't know that in 2 weeks he'd have to surrender. That song Rhonda said this week to Gina, that song is so different for me now. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I didn't know I was going to have to surrender my 35-year-old son. The song, All to Jesus I Surrender. Let me tell you something. That's a tall order. And I'm going to be honest with you. I can't say, as soon as I heard it in the light of that, I can't say that I've done that yet. But let's find a place right now as we go back into this. If you want to press forward and you just want to come and lift your hands before your Creator and start telling him, teach me how to surrender to you. Teach me, ask him that. Teach me how to surrender all to you. Because if I haven't endured enough, there is something. You said it just a while ago. We're going to press in. We're going to press on to the things of the future because we know that God is worth that. He is our future. But we also know there are going to be things along the way we're going to have to surrender to God. And I pray to God it'll never be my children or my grandchildren. But listen, let me tell you, there's a God in heaven who's going to return. His name is Jesus. And we're going to talk about him here in a few minutes. I want you to press in right now. Here we go. Here we go. Just press in and press into the God that's coming back for you, that loves you with all of eternity ahead of you. Press in towards him this morning. Himself. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit of God fall upon this place in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, for those who pressed in this morning, I'm asking a double portion. That a double portion rest upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ for a double portion to rest upon your people today who are pressing in. Because when we press in, God, we're pressing beyond something. That means we're fighting through something. We got stuff. We got stuff. And we're fighting and we're pressing through it. But we see you. We see you. And we see you're there where we're going. We see you on the other side of the lake. That's what you told the disciples. Get in the boat with me. We're going to go to the other side of the lake. And Lord, we see the destination because you've already told us what it is. And we're going there with a God that loves us and cares for us. We're going there. Say these words. I am. I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I hear your voice. I see you there. I see you there. And I'm coming with you. Oh, my God. Lord, give him a hand. Woo. Wow. Pastor Mike, thank you. Dude, what a powerful day. You may be seated. You may be seated. What a powerful day of worship. I forgot my watch, so we're good. Listen, I met my friend Al, right? Right back here. This is Al. Everybody welcome Al. Al. Hey, here's some history that we share together. He went to Florissant Assembly of God Church under a pastor named Lester Shockley. These are the grandchildren of Lester Shockley right here. Karen Vock. This is Glenda Vock, Glenda Shockley's daughter. This is brother and sister Shockley's grandkids right here and their great grandkids. Al, I've said this for years now. When I get to Pastor Shockley one day, I'm going to say, you know what? It's an amazing thing. You had no clue. You were raising up and teaching your grandchildren's pastor, your great-grandchildren's pastor, and your great-great-grandchildren's pastor. Be careful what you say to people, because you may be speaking to your great-great-grandchildren's future pastor. Take the time to invest in someone. They may actually impact and influence. I can't tell you, Pastor Harvey, I could be wrong, but you knew my grandparents, right? Yes, you preached for them. I thought that you had. You never know. See, he met somebody. I knew my grandmother, but I didn't know my grandfather. You just never know where our lineages are going to cross paths again. Al, I am honored to have you here today because, brother, we share some amazing spiritual kingdom of God history. God bless you for being here today. It's probably not the type of worship music that you're used to, but brother, you are an endurer. I'm telling you, you are an endurer. And I'm telling you that when Pastor Mike went into All to Jesus, I Surrender, my hair just stood, and that's a lot, stood up. And I just get into the presence of God because I want, oh my goodness, Brother Edmondson, you're here. Awesome. It's great to see you, man. I'm telling you, you are I love that dude's smile. You bring the puppy? She's in the car. We count, listen, that's a four-legged creature. We count that as two people. Don't be doing that. You bring that puppy in here. Don't you do that. Are you ready to get into the Word? All right. If you don't know it, we are a fellowship that is associated with the Assemblies of God. I'm ordained through the Assemblies of God. That's not why I'm teaching what I'm teaching, but it happens to be I'm in agreement with those particular teachings. And so the Assemblies of God came out with this thing years ago back in Eureka Springs called the Fundamental Truths. And so they have these basically 16 fundamental truths that we all, since we're not a denomination, we are independent churches governed by a local government called the pastor and the elders here at St. Charles River Church. But we are in agreement with, in a cooperation with, Pam, remember this, because when you take your credentials test, if you answer that the Assemblies of God is a denomination, you will get that question wrong. We are a cooperative fellowship. Ask Pastor Harvey. He's been around longer than me, 50 years in ministry, right? 50-some-odd years? Yeah, you and Gene. And by the way, I get to pastor his granddaughter and her husband, Nate and Melissa. Isn't that cool how I met him when he's 12, when you were 12. I was just a baby. Yeah. I was 12 years old when I met him, threw some watermelon at him, and we've been friends ever since. He was pastoring a church over in the Creve Coeur area, in Ladue area. And so we are blessed, guys. We are blessed. By the way, bring somebody with you next Sunday. There's a lot of people away today. I can name them. I won't. But if I can name them, I bet you can too. I love having you over here shouting, Mike. Mike, you've been here enough times. You're ours now, buddy. You're ours. You've been here three times. You're ours, buddy. You're ours. Welcome John Coffey back as well. John is our man. He holds my right wing down. He's my wingman, far right side over here. John, wave. So everybody knows who I'm talking about. I love having John. Okay, so what we're in is a series that we've begun. Pastor Pam did a great job last week talking about, does God still heal? That was one of the fundamental truths she chose to go with. By the way, Pastor Mike and Carmen are away with the kids, the grandkids. This is their final Sunday away. They took a family vacation. I endorse family vacations. I endorse the zoo after 1 o'clock. Everybody get the hint? I love Cardinal baseball and I endorse it after 1 o'clock. I get it. Don't worry about the Rams anymore. It's out. That thorn has left our flesh. So. Doesn't Paul wish the rams were the only thorn in his flesh? So these spiritual truths that I'm going to be teaching about over the next several weeks are these fundamental truths. The Assemblies of God launched these 16 fundamental truths. And I was always curious, couldn't you find a 17th? I mean, once you get to 16, why not go on to 20? I'm just curious, Pam. I got Beth in the booth looking at me like, you're crazy. We don't need any more fundamental truths. No, so what I found was on the website of the Assemblies of God out in Australia, which, by the way, every continent has their own local office and organization to just facilitate those churches that want to be affiliated. Well, the Australian Assemblies of God came up, they narrowed it down to 10. Thank God, I can read that. I'm ADD, and 16 just bores me. I check out about the 12th. So when they narrowed it down to 10 and condensed it in a way that the Assemblies of God, we all agree on, this is what we're going with in our bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin, here it is. It's a page 3 in your bulletin. These are the spiritual truths that we're going to be teaching. And today I'm going to be speaking on what would be shown as the second one there. Pam chose healing further down. I'm going to take on today that we believe in one eternal God who is the creator of all things. He exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is totally loving and completely holy. Now let me just say this to you. These are spiritual truths that I believe are, scriptural truths that I believe are true. But none of them are, listen to my heart here, okay? None of them are about contending. None of them are for the purpose of arguing with other Christians about what they believe. You see, we have to respect that there are many different doctrines throughout. Paul contended with it. And when asked about it, Paul said, hey, whether they say they follow Apollos or Paul, whatever, if the gospel's being preached, God bless them. Leave them alone. Now, Paul and Peter got into some heat over circumcision, and they went to the council there in Jerusalem, and they argued it, but they argued it with respect to each other, and they agreed to differ. But Paul went ahead and wrote that, in essence, of anything other than Jesus and the cross is not a pure gospel. It's not that Christ himself completed it when he said it is finished. It was finished, and there was nothing more to be done. And so that's what Paul contended. Doctrine is a very contendable thing. I've got close friends that are in the United Pentecostal Church. They're precious friends of mine. And I mean, I love these guys. I did, when I was in the hairstyling industry, House of Ivy, back across from the UPC World Headquarters on Dunn Road, I used to do lots of the pastors there and the ministers that were there, all the way up through the general superintendent. I mean, we did the who's who of the United Pentecostal Church. Don't tell anybody, but is this being recorded? Okay. We're not live streaming though, right? Okay. Okay. Well, I even did some of their wives' hair. Y'all know the significance of that? They don't cut their hair. So we would pull their cars up to the side of the building. I'd cut their hair in the back of the salon, trim their hair up, do the perms, do the color, do whatever we need to do, let them out the left door. But they didn't have the conviction that many in the organization did. And I appreciated that they were living their conviction, but not in your facing others who did not agree with them. They gave room for those others, individuals, to hold on to that conviction that they were to never cut their hair and they were never to color their hair or do that type of adornment. And I really appreciated them. They were not being hypocritical. They were very respectful that they would not in your face anyone who had different convictions than they did. I respected that. So, but the UPC teaches, for example, and I respect their right to teach this, in Jesus only. They believe that you must be baptized in Jesus only, that there is not a three persons trinity that, like we believe. They believe in one God, and he is God, he, the Father, he is God the Son, and he is God the Holy Ghost. And when they talk about getting saved, they'll refer to, are you full of the Holy Ghost? And I have been so endeared to these individuals because they are so full of faith. They believe in Jesus. They get Jesus. They get the Spirit-filled walk. They get that. They get that. And I just, in fact, it was UPC, if you know Pastor Rex, that I bring in here all the time, my former pastor, pastor of First Assembly of God, was actually led to Christ by a UPC bunch of youth groups at a Dairy Queen. And he thought that was wild. They could look like that and be that happy. He was high. He had just, you know, I'm sorry. Let me just get to it. He had just been out and partied, and he was like, "Why? How could you be as happy as that? And you don't even do drugs." That's what he said. "I want what you have." And they said his name is Jesus. And they gave him a Bible, and he came to Christ, reading that Bible over and over and over all night long, and he found this Jesus to be radically cool. Radically cool. And so, but he discovered his doctrinal teachings through some organizations. It was actually a football player at Penn State who went on to be a quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. And I know his name. If I think of it, I'll tell you. But he came to faith under this Trinity teaching. What we have learned is doctrine is very, very dangerous if the understanding of why we have doctrine is, if the misunderstanding is out there. We have doctrine for the revelation of God to man, not for man to argue with man. Do we get that? Okay. We respect others who differ with us. If we don't, we're not Jesus, because he certainly did. Jesus respected others who differ from him. He really did. He let those who differ from him walk away and differ and be okay. He loved them. He's judge. But the one who could have judged them right then, do you know that the harshest words Jesus ever spoke were to religious people? He did. His words to the most religious of the day, the Sanhedrin Council, he said, "You brood of vipers." Translate, "You pit of snakes." That's what he called them, the religious of the day. Can I tell you, my wife has many times said to me, we need to be very careful that we are not the Sanhedrin Council of the day, the modern day age. because they were mean about their faith. They argued doctrine. They contended doctrine. I give room for, I have been out with atheists to dinner. We befriend all Jesus. Who does this sound like? Jesus was a friend of sinners. Well, that's me. How about you? We're all messed up. We just need Jesus. Well, I mean, seriously, at some level, we just need to come to this place where Christ reveals himself in us. And by the way, we begin a journey to being more like him every day. I didn't say I got there yet. What did Pastor Mike read? I have not that I've obtained it yet. But didn't he read that? Paul wrote that, led of the Holy Spirit. Not that I have obtained it yet. I can promise you I have not obtained it yet. Because if anyone in this room thinks they have pure doctrine, can I tell you what the Bible says pure doctrine is? It's taking care of widows and orphans. Pure religion? Pure religion is loving people. It's loving people. It's loving atheists. It's loving Muslims. It's loving Assemblies of God people. It's loving Baptists. It's loving people that don't do anything. It's loving people. It's giving value to people. It's how you take care of people. Jesus said in John 13, all men you will know you're my disciples by the way you love one another. It's not because you can spout the Bible. It's not because I can spout the Bible. I can spout the Bible. I had a guy call me one time from the zoo and he asked me the question, hey, give me all that scripture on the Trinity, which I'm going to give here to you in just a second. Give me all that scripture. I got a guy here who wants to argue. He's oneness, which is no Trinity. And I said, why? So you can beat him over the head with it? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? You want to argue it? How about just find common faith? He believes in Christ, right? Yeah. He's going to heaven, right? Yeah. Leave him alone. I actually said shut up and leave him alone, but I'm not allowed to say shut up in church. It's the S word, you know. So everybody turn in your Bibles to Isaiah. The great prophet Isaiah wrote the book of Isaiah. They have found, actually, in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Pastor Harvey has copies of it. He's given me a copy of the original the papers of, what are they called? The original Dead Sea Scrolls. That was easy. I was trying to find a bigger word. Isaiah 43. Now listen to this. This is God declaring who he is to Israel. By the way, you and I are heirs to a Jewish throne. Woo! Get that. I said we are heirs to a Jewish throne. Our king was a Jew. People say, no, he was a Christian. No, he wasn't. Please never say that. Everybody know that Jesus was Jewish, right? He didn't come to start a religion, but he did come to bring followers with him into the Father's presence. So listen to this. This is Israel's only Savior is the topic above it. It's 13 verses long. Isaiah chapter 43. This is God. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob. Remember Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Remember Jacob's name was, Abraham's grandson was changed to Israel. His name was changed to Israel. So when people say it's the people of Israel, what he's talking about, the Bible's talking about, it's the people of Jacob. It's Jacob's descendants. Okay. Here we go. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Ooh, oh, I have summoned, this is long before he actually did it. Get this, he's talking, there's no time for him. God's not on time. Everybody get that. He's not on a time clock. We are. He's not. I am that I am. I am before Abraham was. I am. You see, he comes back to always is. I am. So he says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, get this, for those that are going through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They're not going to set you on fire. He's in the fire with you. Remember, that's where you find him, is in the fire. They didn't see him before they got in the fire. When they got in the fire, the fourth man showed up. I love that. I love that. He's in the fire. So when I go into the fire, can I tell you when Dave and Rhonda lost that young man? I've known Matt since he was a baby. When they walked into the fire last Sunday night at 7 or about 4 o'clock, Christ was in the fire. He was in there. He's waiting to care for them and to hold them. My God. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I will give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you. I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid. These are covenants that he had with Israel. For I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. In other words, those who've scattered you, I will undo the scattering. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. By the way, he did that. Israel gathered back together in 1948. That's a prophecy fulfilled right there. When Israel was recognized as a nation, that flag flies because God says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We honor God's word. Do not hold them back. It says, bring my daughters from afar. He says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, lead them out, or lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of them foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove that they were right, so that others may hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I even am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no Savior. I am. This is what God said to Isaiah. These are the words that God spoke to Isaiah. I am he. Before me, there wasn't one. After me, there won't be one. I'm the only one. I am God. Now, I'm going to tell you why God said, do you know why in Deuteronomy chapter 6, around verse 6, something like that, where Moses actually writes, the Lord God is one. Let me tell you why God's getting this straight with Israel. Because Israel's made a lot of wrong decisions. By the way, Israel would continue to make a lot of wrong decisions. But he was establishing something. I am God. In other words, I am in charge, not you. Isn't this great? He is God and I am not. And the reason for Deuteronomy, where Moses wrote, the Lord God is one, and he presses into the family teaching there. Wherever you go, if you're in your kitchen, if you're on the road, if you're in your house, if you're lying down, if you're getting up, whatever you're doing, keep my commands before you, because I am number one. I am God. When people say, you know, and the word does say this, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Can I tell you, when I get so tired of hearing people say, well, God is number one in my life, and then my family is number two, and then my church is number three. Listen, if God is number one, your family will never be treated as number two. Okay, got to go over here. If God is number one in your life, your family will never be treated like they're number two. He is one, and if he is one, you'll come in. Look, can I tell you what happened last Sunday? We challenged the men the Tuesday night before to come in and get ready to worship, to come in boldly. I'm seeing you guys, the heart in my heart is yours, my heart is yours. I saw these men just emotionally, passionately worshiping God. I'd never seen anything like that in my 17 years at this church. My heart is yours. My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all. My life's in your hands. Amen. And I'm sitting there going, ooh, there's something different here. And it was to guys, I mean, I was watching guys that normally don't do a whole lot of emotion. And you guys, you pressed in. Because you decided to take the challenge to come into the presence of God and let him do the work. It's not a religion thing here. Can I rebuke religion in the name of Jesus Christ? It's not a religion thing. But we gather together on a Sunday morning like this, not so that you can check the list off. I went to church today. I used to do that. Woo, I couldn't wait to get to Captain D's. I love Captain D's. It was right across the street from church. I really didn't want to go to church. I believe in stinking real. If you don't like that, you might not be in the right place. But I was for years the checker. I checked it off. I went to church today. I felt so good. Now, if I went on Sunday night, man, I was religious, man. The old saying, if you love church, you'll be there on Sunday morning. If you love the pastor, you'll be there on Sunday night. If you love God, you'll be there on Wednesday night. And all, I was like, really? Remember those days? What's that got to do with God? He's God. It's about him being God, number one, in our lives. It's not about whether he's existing in the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He does. I mean, that's the picture. Not everybody, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 3, rather. Luke chapter 3. And this is where Jesus is baptized when all the people were baptized. Jesus, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and he was praying. Heaven was open. When he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a heavenly form like a dove. And a voice came from, that's why, if people don't understand why there are dove bumper stickers, that's where they get that from. It represents the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. And I don't do bumper stickers, by the way. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my God whom I love. You are my son, rather, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And Jesus himself was about 30 when his ministry began and began to teach and so on and so on. Jesus was absolutely in the presence of his Father. He was being baptized, and a voice, this is why we believe that there are three persons in the Trinity, one of the reasons, because a voice from heaven called out from heaven, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." So God was actually saying in front of all of men, John the Baptist, by the way, was Jesus's cousin. Mary and Elizabeth were sisters. Elizabeth gave birth to John, known as the Baptist, because they declared their profession after, that wasn't his last name, any more than Christ was Jesus's last name, okay? So it would be closer to being Jesus son of Joseph. Actually, it would have been Yahshua, son of Joseph, if you want to get actually into the Hebrew. And so anyway, here is Jesus being baptized by his cousin, who said, "I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces." And he wants me to baptize him. And so as he is being baptized, a voice from heaven descends, or a dove from heaven descends, and a voice from heaven declares, "This is my son." So this was clearly a presence in the heavens that was speaking at that time. The last portion of scripture I want to give you is, turn all the way over to, give me that last one up there. Do you have a third one? Yeah, Matthew. Yes. Here you go. I'm not going to look it up. Here we go. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 18. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, and some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority is given in heaven and on earth, and it's given to me." Here we go, next verse. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In other words, you can count on this. I'm never going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you. But Jesus gives, just leave it there, if you would, Teresa. Jesus gives this clear picture and words of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And there are those who want to argue whether those are the functions of God or the persons of God or both or are none of the above. It really doesn't matter. That is how I understand it. It is that Jesus taught that there is the person of the Father, there is the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit, and he is God. How's that? You know, there's this wonderful category. Can everybody just say the word mysteries? There's this wonderful category when people say, "Well, I don't understand that." Yeah, I love that. I love the mysteries of God, because when you can tell me, seriously, please never come to me and say, "Well, Pastor Barry, please don't come to me after church today. Let me explain to you how the Trinity works." Because you just lost credibility with me. You really did. You just lost real credibility with me because I've not experienced God like you then. I have the pictures that Jesus gives us, the description and the teachings that are taught throughout God's Word. But can I tell you, when we really see God on that day, we're going to sit there or we're going to stand. I don't think I'm going to sit. I'm going to be standing there going, oh my God, that's how He works. Oh, He just changed. That's another side of Him. I believe because of His constant revelation through eternity, we'll be experiencing God. There's this constant revelation. Don't worry about what I think. There's always been a constant revelation of God. Hasn't He always constantly revealed Himself to man? That's the Creator. Do you think He stopped creating? I don't believe He stopped creating. The Bible says He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible says that He's creating new creatures in Christ Jesus. Every day, the Bible says that God is still the Creator. He created us in the beginning, and I honestly don't care if you think it took 15 billion years or if it took 7,000 years. I honestly don't care. What I do want you to know is this. He's the Creator. If there was a bang, He banged. I'm safe with that. I'm safe with God banging. How about you? Now, I will tell you, I believe God did it the way He said He did it. But I believe that there are mysteries of God that we don't know. And God's Word gives room for that. God gives room for differences in how people interpret the Word. And He didn't get mad. He didn't get mad. In fact, there are people that actually get mad when they found out that there was a little bit of chance in picking Matthias to replace Judas. They were basically flipping a coin. Did you all get that? They would never do that. Surely they heard from God. Matthias is the one. No! They cast lots. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously, somebody call the boat. Tell them to get a red chip and a black chip. I've never been there, by the way. I'm just guessing, because I've seen checkers. So. God gives room for differences in doctrine. But we happen to believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and He is one. He is in charge. And I'm not. And that's what I love. I'm not. Well, Pastor Barry, you know, I go to Pastor Barry's church. No, you don't. Thank God you don't go to Pastor Barry's church. There's no such thing as Pastor Barry's church. This is Christ's church. He paid the price for it. He paid the price for it. 2,000 years ago. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, my heart is yours. Truly, God, take it all. As the song says, take it all. My life's completely, Lord, in your hands. Lord, teach us who you are through these doctrines of truth, but teach us for the purity of understanding you a little more today than I did yesterday, not for the purpose of arguing or disrespecting someone else's belief or thoughts about Scripture, but teach us, God, who you are intimately, personally, so that I can experience you. Teach me your ways so that I can experience you in a way I could never have experienced you without you revealing that special thing about yourself. Teach us, God, to press into your presence in a way with an honorable character, not wanting to learn it for the purpose of arguing or for the purpose of showing someone else where they're wrong, but for the purpose of pressing in and getting more intimate with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, would you do this? Stand and give the Creator a tremendous hand. Just give the Creator a great hand. He is worthy. One day you're going to do it when you get to heaven. One day you're going to stand there and you're going to cheer God and you're going to say, I cannot believe we're here. Jimmy, I can't believe we're going to be there. 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 You and I, we're going to be there. Not because we deserve it, but because He loves us. Because He's merciful. Because He is gracious. And because He's compassionate. Hallelujah.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.